Okay, so we are continuing the sugya of Dam Chimud. So Be'ezras Hashem, we are going to we went through the Gemaras last time, right? We went through the Gemaras and some of the basic discussions in the Rishonim. So just to chazer over, right? We had two primary Gemaras, three Gemaras, let's say. We had the Gemara that's the primary sugya of Dam Chimud, which is Nida Daf Samech Vav, where the Gemara tells us that Amar Rava. So apparently. The Taz makes a big deal about this, that it was in the generation of Rava. We know that this halacha was stated, that there's something called Dam Chimud, that Tavua Linase, that you need Shiva Nikiyim, and the Gemara demonstrates that it applies to a Katana as well, even if a person doesn't bleed. We always assume that there was Dam Chimud. Good, then we had the Gemara earlier on in Maseches Nida, where the Amoraim would smell the Dam, and by smelling the Dam, they would verify that it was Dam Chimud, and what that accomplishes exactly. And then the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Yud Ches, where Rav and, who was it, Rav Nachman, right, when they went to different communities, they used to make a public announcement in advance that whoever is interested would like to get married for the time that we stay in this community. And the Gemara asked, "Aye, but what about Dam Chimud? How can you just marry someone like that?" So the Gemara answered, what was the Gemara's answer? They sent scout teams in advance, right? 7 days in advance, and therefore the women had time to take care of the Dam Chimud issue. So the most fundamental machlokas we did last time was just as far as what the nature of the Dam actually is, right? Whether Dam Chimud is Dam Nida or is it Dam Maka. So we saw the Shita of Viran, that Dav Chafen Beis, that Dam Chimud is Damina Aliyah, which is really Tahar, it's really Dam Maka. The Raya is based on the Gemara, based on the Gemara Dav Chaf, that the Amoraim would smell it, and they would say, "Oh, this is Dam Chimud. Well, who cares that it's Dam Chimud, if Dam Chimud is the same as Dam Nida?" No, it must be they were saying, this is Dam Chimud, and therefore Tahora, and the whole concern of the Gemara is that Dam Chimud would get mixed in with Dam Tame. And then we had the sheet of the Rambam, and the Arzurua, and the Rashba, that it is in fact Dam Tame. And then we have the possibility that's raised in the Ran also, and in the Meiri, and the Arzurua, that it's Tor Midaraisa, but the Chachamim were Metame the Dam itself. The Chachamim were Metame Dam Chimud. So what we got out of all of that was that there are several reasons, at least according to some Rishonim, several reasons potentially, why Dam Chimud would not be a problem on a Daraisa level. Right? Why the issue is only a problem on a Drabana level. So first of all, Dam Chimud is, according to some Rishonim, Tahora, at least Midaraisa, that it's not even Dam Nida. Second of all, even Dam Nida, even if it were Dam Nida is only Mitame Bahargasha, there was no Hargasha, as far as we know. And third, even if she didn't find any Dam, she said there was Dam. So normally, in order to become Tame, you need it to be, you need to be Dam, it needs to be Bahargasha, and it needs to be Dam Nida. Over here, it could be that you have none of those things. You don't have any Dam, and even if there is Dam, it may not be Dam Nida. Even the Dam that you're imagining might have been there, may not even be Dam Nida, and there was a Hargasha. So for all of those reasons, Dam Chimud is not a Din Da'oraisa. For all of those reasons, at most, it could be a Din Da'rabanan. Yeah?
I don't really understand when you say it's a Dam Maka. Like, what's that? That's just like a biological thing?
Yeah, that the assumption is that the excitement of getting married and the anticipation of it causes some other Dam to come out of her body. Yeah. It's like from a Mayan Tohar that comes out, that it's Dam in Aliyah, that it's not Dam in a Makar. And then we had a couple of other discussions, whether it applies to an Almana and a Grusha. We've had the Raya that the Azura brings from that Rav Nachman was Tovei Nasi on the very same day, and the Gemara asks, how can you do that? What about Dam Chimud? The Gemara never answers, don't worry, it was only an Almana or a Grusha. So it seems to be that an Almana or a Grusha is also included in Dam Chimud. We discussed, what about being Machzir Grusha? So maybe there's a time, it makes a difference how much time passed by since the Gerushin to getting married, and we discussed whether doing a bedikah will help. I mean, what if right after the Tavuol Linase, so she right away does a bedikah. So do we assume that that will obviate the need for Zayin Nikiyim? So the Rav Yah, and it's quoted by both Beis Yosef and the Bach, says that it's no worse than a Vesas, where a bedikah works. The entire chashash is for a tipas dam, a bedikah should take care of that. Yet all of the other Rishonim disagree. Just about every other Rishon says that you still have to be concerned for a tipas dam kechardel. And then the last thing we discussed, is that if there was a tevia before the kiddushin, before the kiddushin. So does kiddushin now create a new chimud, which would be a big problem for us because we do kiddushin under the chuppah at the time that we're planning on doing a nisuin, 3 minutes later, as soon as, depending how long it takes the guy to read the ksuba, right? It would be a problem if we have to be choshesh for dam chimud at that point. Now let's move to probably the most next to what dam chimud is, the most relevant machlokas rishonim, and the one that really emerges in sif aleph. That you can't really learn sif aleph unless you know this basic machlokas rishonim. What does dam chimud require? Okay, so we're choshesh that it's there, that it exists, that there's such a thing called dam chimud, that there's this tipas dam. So, and therefore, the woman has to do what? And therefore, I have to be careful about what? Because she may have had dam chimud. So the Ramban in Hilchos Nida, Gimel Yud Beis, and the Ravid in Balei HaNefesh say that the concern is for a single tipas dam at that moment, and therefore, since it's only for one tipas dam at that moment, you don't need a hafzik tara. Meaning, what's the purpose of a hafzik tara in general? The purpose of a hafzik tara is to make her muchzekes that she's no longer being roadam. That she's no longer, she's now mayanas asum, she's now not becheskas that she's being roadam anymore. She may have been roadam, we know, every time a woman does hafzik tara, she has been roadam, but she's saying, mikan lahaba, starting now, I'm no longer roadam. Right? That's the purpose of a hafzik tara. This woman doesn't need that, because she's not muchzekes that she's roadam. We think there was one tipas dam kechardel, and that was it. That was the end of it. We never thought that there was a mayan pasuach in her. It was one tipas dam kechardel because of one moment of excitement or of something, and that's the whole thing. That's the whole concern. Why does she need shavnekiyim? Because any time you see a tipas dam kechardel, chumras Rabbi Zeira is that you need shavnekiyim. Meaning she needs shavnekiyim not because we think she's going to bleed during the shavnekiyim. She needs shavnekiyim because anytime you have a tipas dam kechardel, you need shavnekiyim. But there's no need for bedikos really to take care of anything. She's not seeing dam. It's that she did. She saw this one tipas dam kechardel. So one bedika during shivanakim is required just because you can't possibly be yotze shivanakim without a bedika. But it's not even really that you need a bedika in order to verify that there's no dam. I know that there's no dam. The bedika is just because what else is shivanakim? Meaning, in general, what does the Torah say about Shivanakim? The Torah says, V'safrala. She has to do a Sfira of Shivanakim. So we're going to discuss this later on, what does that require, V'safrala? So we know what it requires by Sfira Sa'omer. By Sfira Sa'omer requires Sharkin Shon Tos Tzvanu, right? A Bracha, and then a Sfira. By Hilchos Nida, for some reason, it doesn't require that. It does not require reciting a Bracha and doing a verbal count, despite the mashmos of Tosos and Maseches Menachos, where Tosos and Maseches Menachos and elsewhere in Shas, Tosos assumes that does require a verbal Sfira, and Tosos asks, why did you say a bracha on the Sfira of Shivanakim? Right, why would this be a Menachos? It's Omer, right? The Omer, Menachos, it's a Mincha. So because it's in Tosos and Menachos, why did you require a bracha? So it's Tosos Teretz. She doesn't require a bracha for Sfiras Shivanakim because Shemetira Vitista. Because she might, what's going to happen? She'll say a bracha day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, she sees Dan. And then it's going to be Sosarol Shivanakim. She's going to have to start all over again. Those are four brachas of Vatala, days one through four. Right? We don't want to risk that. Shemetira Vitista. The implication is that's why she doesn't need a bracha. But the mashmos of Tosis is there's still a mitzvah to actually do a verbal Sfira. That's the famous comment of the Shalach HaKadosh. The Shalach HaKadosh says that she should do a Sfira, that a woman is supposed to actually do a verbal Hayom Yom Rishon L'Shivanakim, Hayom Yom Sheni L'Shivanakim. Right? That's, I don't think on Shvi you have to say Shehem Shavua Echad, but you count day by day of Shivanakim. So that's what the Shalach HaKadosh says. And Nadav Yehuda has that famous comment on the Shalach HaKadosh, and Nadav Yehuda says, wow, the Shalach HaKadosh is so religious that always mitzvahs, lo yispa mitzvahs. He loves mitzvahs so much, he wasn't satisfied with the ones that God gave us, so he So he added some of his own. So he made up this mitzvah because he loved mitzvah so much, which was the same line Rabbi Yisrael Reisman used to describe Rav Schechter about tchelas. That he loves mitzvah so much that he pretends that this is the real tchelas in order to latch on to another mitzvah. He didn't say by name, but that's what he was referring to, obviously. So oy mitzvah sliyus b'mitzvahs. That's the line that comes from. So what does it say? Oy kesef sliyus b'kesef. Zakrashi kesef mitzvahs. Right, that it's a mashal mitzvah. Oy mitzvah sliyus b'mitzvahs. So okay. Anyway, so that's Shitas Ramban. So what am I saying? Why all this? The Ramban is telling us that in order to have Shimon HaKiyam, you may not need a Sfira. You may not need, but you need something. You need to do something in order to be Yotzei V'Safralah. So if you're going to require Shimon HaKiyam, it can't just be just being. You have to do something. So it must be that you need one Badika. What are you checking for? You don't think that there's anything there, really. You're not really checking because you're choshesh that there's dam. You're just checking because you need some sort of action to be Yotzei Shimon HaKiyam. That's the Ramban and the Raya. The Raya that you don't need a Hefsatara and that you don't need Shimon HaKiyam is really straight from the Gemara, the Ramban points out. Because what happens in the Gemara, she wasn't aware that she needed Shimon HaKiyam, but they counted, and that presumably she did one bedik at the very end. Meaning, what happened in our Gemara, in our Sunna? There was a shidduch that was supposed to go through, right? And they kept delaying, and they didn't know why are you delaying? Because Dam Chibud. So that's why we delayed, and that's why it took another 7 days. But the Kala side didn't know that. They had no idea why the delay was going on. So how did they have Shimon HaKiyam if they had no idea why the delay was going on? Elamai, you don't need a Hefsatara. You don't need anything during Shimon HaKiyam. One Bedika at the very end would be good enough. So on the last day, they said, oh, by the way, tonight we're getting married. Today's day 7 of Shimon HaKiyam, so do a Bedika now. Good, she did a Bedika, and that was it. That was done. But you don't need to even be on guard to make sure that there's no Dam, because there's no Chashash that there is Dam. It's a little bit shver because why do you need it? Meaning, what does a bedika accomplish during Shimon HaKiyam? It's an indicator that you're conscious of Shimon. Meaning, fundamentally, v'safrala means that you're aware of the fact that there is Shimon HaKiyam. That you're aware of the fact that there's accounting going on. If a woman is totally unaware of the fact that there's even accounting going on, and then on day 7 she does a bedika, it's very hard to call that Shimon HaKiyam. Meaning, the same reason that Ramban wants to say, yeah, we're going to require a bedika, because you got to do something. Yeah, doing something at the end doesn't make the last 7 days Shimon HaKiyam. Being conscious of the fact that it is Shimon HaKiyam, and then maybe adding a maisa on top of that, but fundamentally, v'safala should mean that you're aware that you're counting something. Right? Meaning, isn't that the definition of Shimon HaKiyam? That you're aware that you're counting something? And then, if you're going to tell me I need a maisa also, but it doesn't have to be sphere with the bracha, okay, good, so the maisa could be a bedika. But the Ramban is like working around the fundamental definition of Shimon HaKiyam, and instead only counting that little maisa at the end as the whole, as the whole Shimon HaKiyam. That's difficult to understand why that would be the case. And I'm not even talking about the meal tzedakah, you know, which we'll get to, I guess, in Kutzak, but when the Mil Tzedakah holds that if a woman loses consciousness of her Shimon HaKiyam at some point along the way, that she then has to start all over again. Right? I mean, if let's say, take the classic example, day 3 of Shimon HaKiyam, a woman sees a stain in her beged, right? And she says, oh, this is terrible, that's it, I'm going to have to start all over again, I'm going to have to start a new Shimon HaKiyam tomorrow, she's convinced that it's tameh. And then her husband comes home a couple of hours later, and she says to her husband, bad news, Shimon HaKiyam is over, got to start again tomorrow. Her husband says, why do you say that? She said, because I saw a stain, and I'm telling you, this kesem was bad, and there was no chance. So he says, can I see? You know, I'm learning Hilchos Nida now, maybe can I just see? So she says, yeah. So she shows it to him, and he's like, it's smaller than a penny, it's like brown, it's like, I mean, she had never seen a stain before, she doesn't know what it looks. So he's like, I think this might be okay. I don't trust you. What do you know? You're my husband. Ask a rabbi. Okay, fine. I'll ask a rabbi. So So he goes in, he asks, yeah, that's fine, nothing wrong with that. So says Mil Tzedakah, she still starts counting again. Why? Because in her mind, she stopped counting. Meaning in her mind, it wasn't Shiva Nakim anymore. And the very definition of Shiva Nakim is in the Sephala that she has to be counting, that she has to know that it's Shiva Nakim. Okay, whether we pass in like that Mil Tzedakah, that's a Kuf Tzadivav discussion. We'll get to that discussion. But I'm saying, even if we don't pass in like that Mil Tzedakah, even if we don't pass in that an hour of not being aware of Shiva Nakim ruins her Shiva Nakim, but never having been aware until the last minute for sure ruins the Shiva Nakim. She can't start a Shiva Nakim without knowing that she's starting a Shiva Nakim. Right? That lechora, that's really troubling. Yeah?
Can we explain why, as long as she hasn't found this thing that doesn't work as Shiva Nakim, even if she was unaware of it? Like her clothes were
because gone. What the Ramban is saying, of course she's got to do a Maisa. So that's why she does a Bedika. Right? What he's saying is, because that's the only way to fulfill the Safrala. How do you fulfill the Safrala if you have no idea that you're in Shiva Nakim? Meaning the Maisa is, okay, you want to tell me that there's got to be a Nihug also. But at the very least, you have to, if you're going to tell me that you need to fulfill the if Ramban wanted to tell me, you need to just have 7 clean days, so I don't need a Maisa, I don't need anything, I don't need to fulfill the Safrala, it's all from the Rebbe Zera anyway. So all we just require that it be 7 clean days. I would have been fine with that. But he's saying, no, you need to do Bedika to fulfill the Safala. Well, once you're going to fulfill the Safala, you at least have to know. You at least have to know that you're in Shiva Nakim. That was a fascinating Shaila that Rabbi Siegelman sent to me. I don't know if I mentioned to you guys, but that from Achon Pua, the woman who, there was a woman who started her Shiva Nakim, and day 2 of her Shiva Nakim, she went into a coma. And she came out on day 5, and she was ready to go to the mikveh after 7. I don't know what kind of disease that is, that like that's a quick recovery. So in such a turnaround, she was ready to go to the mikveh day 7. Shaila is, according to Mil Tzedakah, does that ruin her Shiva Nakim? So maybe when we get there, we'll discuss that Shaila. It's a fascinating Shaila. Doesn't come up all the time, but it's a fascinating Shaila. So this is the Ramban. This is the Shita of the Ramban, the Shita of the Raivid, and again, the Rai is from the Gemara, that here this woman had no idea that she was supposed to even be counting Shiva Nakim, so it must be at the very end, she did a Bedika. Why not have Sektaris? So the Raivid says, because there's no Ri'iya Vada'is, it's only Ri'iya Safin. Plus, he says, like we explained before, the Raivid spells it out, that the entire logic of have Sektaris is not relevant over here. If when a woman bleeds a lot, we're concerned that she's becheskas bleeding, that that's what's going on in her body. So she does have sektara to change her chazaka. Now she's becheskas that she's out bleeding. This woman never was becheskas bleeding. We know that there was an instant where we know nothing. We think there was an instant of a tipas dam kechardel. That's it. The Rashba in Torah Sabayis and in the Chidushim and Shas, here in Samach Vav and Omer Rava, the Rashba asks that, wait a second, for Choshesh that she'll see Dam during the Shiva Nakim, isn't it more likely that she'll see on the day of the Tviya? So she should need to have Sitar. I mean, the Rashba is saying, wait a second, you're requiring Shiva Nakim, you're obviously requiring Shiva Nakim because you think she might see Dam during that time. And therefore, she should definitely require to have Sektara because that's the day that we expected her to have seen Dan, that we think she saw Dan. And if we're not worried about Yom HaTviya because it's such a tiny amount of blood, then why would we worry about Dan during Shiva Nakim? So again, so what was the answer? The Rashba has the Kashmir, the Ramban pretty much spells it out. What's the answer? No, the Bedika is not because I'm concerned that she's seeing Dan. What's the Bedika for? You need some sort of nihug of Shiva Nakim. You need some sort of nihug in order to fulfill the safrala.
Isn't that saying that tipas dam is not enough to make her like chazaka roe? It's just that the suffix of maybe she did have tipas dam, because we usually say that tipas dam is enough. Like
tipas dam
in normal halacha, tipas dam would require hasikar because she has that chazaka roe.
When it comes naturally, we assume that a tipas dam is a sign of her getting her period, and therefore there's probably going to be more. Meaning she's cheskas amayana pasua. But when a woman has chimud, we assume that that's all it is. Meaning a typical period is she gets a whole period. She sees dam and she has a lot of blood. So even though she only saw a tipas dam, we would have all the same rules. But over here, right, it's both. Meaning the Ravid points to the suffix element, but then he points to the other element also. Right? The Ravid highlights both of those ideas. So there is the suffix element, we shouldn't discount that. But even leaving that aside, even if it did happen, all that's expected to happen is that one tipas dam. So that is Shitas HaRamban VeHaRaivid. Says the Rashba, because of his kasha in the Ramban, he says, I don't understand what you need any bedikas for during Shiva Nikiyim. If you need a bedika during the Shiva Nikiyim, then you call the Chomer, you should need a bedika for a Hefsek Tara. Because on the Yom HaTaviyah is the greatest chashash of Riyas Dam. And therefore the Rashba says, you don't need a bedika at all. Not for Hefsek Tara, not during Shiva Nikiyim. There's no chashash. What do you need? You need to be cognizant that there not be a hargasha in the ri'iyah. Meaning, be aware that it's Yishuv Nikiyim, so pay attention whether you're having a hargasha or a ri'iyah, that's all. The raya is that Ravina came 7 days later, and Rav Chaviva was under the impression the entire time that a katana doesn't have dam chibud. Right? The maskana of the Gemara was, oh, dam chibud! But I thought because she's a katana, there's no dam chibud. So if her father wasn't telling her to be cognizant of anything, she obviously wasn't. Well, what would the little girl know? The father didn't even know that a katana could have dam chibud. The little girl probably never even heard of dam chibud. So it was, and yet it was good enough. 7 days passing was good enough, says the Rashba. Why? Because you don't need anything. You don't need to have Sitara. You don't need Shiva Nikiyim. I mean, you don't need a bedika during Shiva Nikiyim. All you need is 7 days of not seeing dam. That's the Chumrat de Rabbi Zeira in this case. This is very much based on the Rashba's Girsa of the Gemara. The Rashba's Girsa of the Gemara is that I'akev Shiva Yomi Basra Hu Yoma Va'asa. That he came another 7 days after. The Ramban, the Ravid, have the Girsa that he came on the seventh day, so there was still time to do a bedika. Meaning Yaakov Shemir Basra Yuma, a full 7 days, he stayed away, then came, according to the Rashba. Ramban and the Ravid have the Girsa, and he came on day seven. So what did the Ramban say? You need a bedika during Shiva Nikiyim. How could that have happened? Because he showed up on day seven, right before the end of the day, and said, oh, quick, do a bedika, so this last 7 days can count as a Shiva Nikiyim. According to the Rashba's Girsa, there wouldn't have been time for that. He showed up after the 7 days were over. What would be the problem with that? What he must say is that you don't need a real disafrila. The chumas Rabbi Zeira is that you need 7 days of not seeing dam, even if all you saw was a tivus dam chardal. Right? Meaning, so in this case, tivus dam chardal is the worst it could be. So we're not going to require an actual disafrila. All we're going to require is 7 days of not seeing dam. But wait a second. What was the Rashba's raya? Because he showed up after 7 days were over. So there couldn't have been anything during the Shiva Nikiyim. If you only need one bedika during the Shiva Nikiyim, I realize we didn't learn that sugi yet. But let's assume, like those Rishonim, they only need, and it's according to Shulchan Aruch, such a day, they only need one bedika during Shiva Nikiyim. When could that bedika be? Any time, right? It could be day one, day seven, any of the days in between. One bedika during Shiva Nikiyim. Yelled like such a shita. When did the Shiva Nikiyim start and end? Meaning, if you only need two bedikas, day one and day seven, so you know what the bookmarks are, right? Bookends, right? Day one, day seven. But if you only need one, there are no bookends. So essentially, whatever day you do bedika, just build Shiva Nikiyim around that. Meaning you didn't need to do anything else throughout the rest of the days. So think about it. Sidritara raises this kasha on the Rashba. Rashba says she couldn't have required a bedika because she showed up on day eight. So asks Sidritara, okay, maybe she did a bedika on day eight. And you know what we started calling day eight? Day seven. And day seven became day six, and day six became day five. Meaning maybe it's days two through eight. Those were her Shiva Nikiyim. Maybe tasty that you don't have Shiva Nikim just because she didn't do Bedika within the first 7 days. If you hold that you only need one Bedika during Shiva Nikim anyway, whenever she does the Bedika, call that part of the Shiva Nikim. The Rosh's problem with the Rashba, actually, before we get to that, the Sidri Tara, Kuf Tzadi Beis, has a teretz that's like a little bit difficult. Meaning, what was this kasha? Just do B'dika Day 8, right? So days 2 through 8, those will be Yeshiva Nikim. So Sidri Tara says, B'dochak, that you can't have more than 7 full days between the Hefsik and the B'dika, and that one B'dika. Yeah, one B'dika is good enough, but it can't be more than 7 days apart from when you did the Hefsik. So if she did the B'dika only on day 8, it would be more than 7 days apart from the Hefsik. What's the problem? What Hefsik? There's no Hefsik, right? The whole point is there's no Hefsik. No, the Tviya. Yeah, there's no Hefsik Tara, but that's only because you know that she's Tahora. So you count the Hefsik from the moment after you expected that Tipas Dam to have been there. That would be considered the Hefsik. So if Tviya is on day 0, right, there's a Tviya. So there's an assumption that there's a Tipas Dam there. So a second later, we count that as Hefsik Tara, even though there's no actual Hefsik Tara. Now, from there to the end of the Shiva Nikim, we can't have more than 7 days. So if you're going to wait till day 8 to do Bedika, that can't count. It's too far away from the Hefsik. Very, very sure. No? There's no Hefsik. So the Tviya becomes Hefsik? No, you know what becomes Hefsik? You don't need Hefsik. Why does she need Hefsik? Because we know she's not seeing Dam. So anytime you know she's not seeing Dam can become the Hefsik. It doesn't have to be the day of the Tviya. Let it be the next day. She's still not seeing Dam. The whole assumption of the Sidri Tara that when there's not a Hefsik, we've got to call something the Hefsik. We have to like label something the Hefsik. So what are we going to label the Hefsik? The moment after the Tviya, that becomes your Hefsik. Very difficult. Again, I don't think his kasha was. Okay, so that's his kasha. So the Sidri Tara has one kasha on the Rashba. The Rosh has a second kasha on the Rashba. The Rosh's kasha on the Rashba is how could you possibly count anything towards Shiva Nikim? Someone just asked this question. I read it, who was like 3 seconds ago. How could you count anything toward the Shiva Nikim? You shouldn't do anything. If there was no Svira at all, there was zero. Waiting around, that's how you fulfill the Safrala? Meaning, the Rosh is working with the assumption that the Chumah of Rabbi Zeir for as far as Dam Chimud is even as far as Dam Chimud is concerned, is to fulfill a mitzvah sphere, to have kavana for Shiva Nikim. So says the Rosh, if you don't even know that Shiva Nikim are there, and you do anything to indicate Shiva Nikim, there's zero. So how could that count towards Shiva Nikim? Again, like we said, similar to Tosos Menachos and Samachem of days, right? That there's got to be a requirement to count. I just would think with the bracha, if not the chashash shemitista. But there's some counting. And then even the Rashba himself says, look, I disagree with Ramban. I don't think you need a bedika during Shiva Nikim over here. I don't think it's necessary. I have a raya from the Gemara that it's not necessary. But Ramban was a holy man. We should do what the Ramban says. So well, we should be machmir. Rashitas arrived from Ramban, do a bedika during the Shiva Nikim. So at the end of the day, the Rashba says, in principle, I disagree, but I'm not one to stand in principle. You do what Ramban says. So do you need a Hefsik Tara? No, of course not. Do you need a bedika during the Shiva Nikim? Ramban will say, yes, because you need some hanhaga of Shiva Nikim. And the Rashba will say, no, but you might as well. The Rashba saying no caused a lot of kashas, right? Sidri Tara says, you don't have any raya that it's no. The raya is from the Gemara that it came more than 7 days later. then she could have just done a bedikah on the eighth day, and that counts as a Shiva Nikim. The Rosh says, I can't imagine that there's such a thing as a Shiva Nikim with nothing, with no consciousness of it, no action, nothing. It's impossible. Comes along the Ra'ah, and the Ra'ah says, what do you mean? It's Shiva Nikim. It requires the same thing as every Shiva Nikim. What does every Shiva Nikim require? I have Siktara and Bidika, however many Bidikos, that's subject to Machlok Rishonim, B'tok Zayin. Maybe every day, maybe day 1 and 7, maybe just once. Well, whatever, we'll get to those Shitas and Rishonim. But it's a regular Shiva Nikim. What do you think the Chumra of Rabbi Zeir is? B'noi saw the Chmira last, Mushevil Rose Tibetam Chadol, Shiva Nikim, meaning that they treat themselves like a Safa Gadola. If you need a kula, is that you don't need a mochtachuk. That's the kula. You'll allow a hafsik tara without a mochtachuk. Is that a kula? Isn't a mochtachuk only a chumra? Again, we didn't get the mochtachuk yet, I realize that. But I think we mentioned this the other day. Generally speaking, right, let's go through the Seder and one. Generally speaking, one becomes a nida. So when she finishes bleeding, let's say 5 days later, we'll just take that number for now, right? She finishes bleeding, so she wants to start counting the Shiva Nikim. Let's say today is her 5th day of bleeding. She's finishing bleeding. She looks at her watch. It's 11:49 a.m. on Sunday morning. So she wants to start Sunday night. You know, she wants to be day one of her Shiva Nikim, right? So she'll be able to go to the mikveh next Sunday night. So what does she have to do? So the typical Seder HaDvarim is that she does a Hefsek Tara before Shkia. Shkia today is about, 4:28 or so? 4:27, something like that. What?
Yesterday was
4:27. 4:27, okay. She was 4:27. So someone tried to get Shabbos Shudasin under the line. So Shkia is at 4:27. So she does her Hefsek Tara at 4:20. And then what does she do at 4:26? She takes another Bedika cloth, sticks it inside of herself, and leaves it inside of herself for the duration of Bein Hashmashos. Right? And that's what we call a mochtach. And we're going to see in Shulchan Aruch later on that the Shulchan Aruch's lashon is la'olam yelami radim b'toch beisa la'hachmir l'chadchila, meaning that's the lashon, that you should be melami b'toch beisa la'hachmir l'chadchila to do this thing called the mochtach. So it's not something that's required to make radin, but it's something that we do. I was learning with a chassan the other day. No one in the room now, but I was learning with a chassan the other day, and I was going through the requirement of bedikos and mochtachuk. The guy says, "Oh, he's like, I have so much kavanah with shlos and yisha tomorrow. So much kavanah." Like sometimes there are these things that there's a woman has to deal with, and a man just doesn't have to think of that. But then again, a woman doesn't have to put on tefillin in the airport. Okay, just saying. If there was a bracha shalos on yish, that's when it would be made. Although I don't know if you saw it, Matt Berg, Mordechai Berg from Vassar, you saw that on Twitter? It was beautiful. Yeah, he was in an airport putting on tefillin, and a kid who is totally secular comes over to him and says, "My Chabad rabbi told me that if I ever see a person putting on tefillin in an airport, I should go over to him and ask him to help me put on tefillin." So he put on tefillin on the kid. How awesome is that? So, anyway, so I guess there is something good that can come out of putting on tefillin in the airport. I was just reading when I was in Detroit the beginning of the biography of Rebbetzin Machlis, of Henny Machlis. So said that Rabbi Machlis, you're familiar with the Machlis family, yeah? So they would host over 100 people every Shabbos meal. So that Rabbi Machlis didn't want a book written about his family. He doesn't think it's anything so special. it's crazy. they said in the book, not everyone was welcome to the house. One time a guy tried to walk in with a donkey and he made him park it outside. So not everyone. So the woman who was writing the book said that she was told by Rabbi Machlis that you're not allowed to describe any Jew as a secular Jew. There's no such thing. So she's like, yeah, but like, that's like what all the stories are about. So like, what should I call them? He said, a Jew. She's like, yeah, but that's not going to convey like what I'm trying to convey, you know. So he said, you can say a Jew whose attachment to Hashem is not as openly obvious as it is by other Jews. So every time she wants to write secular Jews, a Jew's attachment to Hashem is not as openly obvious as it is by other Jews. The book is that fat. how do we get to all that? Shilin Shlo Sani Isha. Yeah, so Mochtach. So normally there's a requirement of Mochtach. So that's a requirement, but it's only a Chumba. But there is a time that it's actually a requirement. A woman has a one day Re'iyah, and then Mochtach becomes a requirement. It becomes Ikar Adin. Meaning, if a woman only sees Dam for that one day, so then she needs a Mochtach in order to start counting her Shiva Nakim, and we'll get to that later. But over here, that's what this is, L'chor. Meaning, what are you concerned about? That there was Dam Chivud, which means there was a Tipas Dam, which means she only bled for that one day. So really, it should have required a Mochtachuk. That's where the Ra'ah says, you don't need a Mochtachuk. Even though normally, Mochtachuk would be Li'ikuva for Ri'as Yomecha. So the Rashba just, you know, he challenges that Ra'ah, that if it's only a tiny amount of Dan, and that's why you're lenient with a Mochtachuk, then you shouldn't require B'dikas P'tel K'zayin either. Meaning, you can't have it both ways. So the Rashba, you know, is very consistent. Rashba says, that's why you need nothing. And everyone else is, you know, sort of saying, you need something, but not everything. You need almost everything, but not quite everything. The Rashba is consistent. You need zero. Comes along the Rush, Simon Dalit in the 10th Parak of Nida, and the Tur quotes this in some Kufzadi Beis. And the Rosh understands that there's a double concern over here. It's not just for that tipas dam that everyone's hacking about. He says there is a tipas dam b'shas tviya, because she's overwhelmed. There's like this emotional ride that she goes on that, like, you know, that shakes her up. So there is that. There is that. And that's considered a likely possibility. And even if she checks and doesn't find blood, it doesn't guarantee that there hadn't been a tipas dam. That maybe she missed. And that's why there's no need for a hafsek tara, because it was just a tipas dam. However, there's a second concern, says the Rosh, an ongoing concern, that as the wedding day gets closer and closer, she's going to bleed more. That's not as much of a concern, because it's not like this sudden, surprising emotion. It's like a gradual build-up. But it's a concern. And for that, she needs to check for 7 days. And if no new bleeding happens, we assume the chimud will have no effect on her. So according to the Rosh, she must check during each of the 7 days, meaning she has to do a regular Zayin Nekiyim, but probably even more than a regular Zayin Nekiyim. See, normally by Shiva Nekiyim, what happens? By Shiva Nekiyim, once you did the Hafsek Tara, you're now Mokhzad, that you're not seeing Dam anymore. Or at least after the first 3 days, you're for sure Mokhzad, you're not seeing Dam anymore. And the Bedikos are your way of doing an active Sfira. The Rosh says, I'm really worried that she's seeing Dam. And I think the concern is not getting less as the days go by. It's getting greater as the days go by. There's a secondary chimud. It's like the aftershocks of an earthquake, right? She has this moment of chimud, tipas dam, and then as the few days go by, she gets closer to her wedding. There's this ongoing concern that there's going to be another tipas dam. There's going to be more dam. So as it turns out, according to the Rosh, bedikah during these Shiva Nekiyim is more important than bedikahs during real Shiva Nekiyim, during regular Shiva Nekiyim. Total shift of the whole way of looking at things. And that's without needing a hafsek tara. Why don't you need a hafsek tara? Because that first tipas dam was just that. It was one tipas dam. And there's no real concern that day she's going to bleed anymore. Ooh, but as the wedding gets closer, she might.
Two questions. One, with the Diga, the 7th day count as a Hafsek Tara, why don't you need a Hafsek Tara? if she's considered to be bleeding, or if we're worried that she's
bleeding. No, no, you don't need to have sakara because there are two concerns. Concern number one is there was a tipas dam b'shas tviya.
Right.
That's a tipas dam and it's over.
But so now we're worried that she's bleeding for 7 days.
Now, as the wedding gets closer, not that day, but as the wedding gets closer, day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of Shiva Nakiv, meaning the next day and on, there's a new concern that's born as she starts counting toward her wedding.
So why shouldn't that concern require Hefzatara? Why shouldn't you have to establish that?
Because Hefzatara just establishes that she stopped bleeding. And okay, I know she stopped bleeding, but the Rosh says I'm concerned that she's going to start a new bleeding. Right? That something's going to happen during the Yishuv Nikiyah.
So if she gets engaged and then 3 months later, we have to worry for all three of those months too, as she gets getting closer and closer?
Oh, good. So we have to figure out where do you draw the line, right? Meaning, how many days before the wedding can she even go to the mitzvah? I mean, if you hold like the Rush, so as the wedding day draws closer, the concern should get greater, and therefore she should need a new Yishuv Nikiyah. So you can say, oh, a woman will, you know, take care of it well in advance. Sometimes people like to cross the T's, dot the I's, you know, make sure everything's taken care of. So this woman has it, she knows she's going to get her period, 3 days after her wedding, to give her a little leeway, right? And she doesn't want to go to the mikvah just a day or two or three before the wedding. She wants to go a week and a half before the wedding. And she can get tahora, shivin nikiyah, and everything. Maybe that's not okay. We'll see in Shulchan Aruch, it's not. So that's the Shita of the Rosh. The Rosh explains that even though in Rava's time the Chumras Rabbi Seder wasn't yet widespread, you still require Shiva Nikiyah because this isn't because of Chumras Rabbi Seder. You understand? I mean, according to the other Rishonim, this is another example of Tipas Dam Kechardel, Shiva Nikiyah. You know, it's not really, there wasn't really anything here, but Tibas Dam Chardel, we require Shiva Nikiyah. So for a Chashash Tibas Dam Chardel, we require some form of Shiva Nikiyah, some lesser form of Shiva Nikiyah. Says the Rosh, no, this is pre-Rabbi Zeira. This is before Rabbi Zeira's Chumra became something that was accepted. Because over here there was a real Chashash. We're on guard for actual potential bleeding. What about the Rosh's Kasha that in the story in the Gemara she didn't know that she needed Shiva Nikiyah while they were happening? So what happened over there? How did she have Shiva Nikiyah? She didn't know she needed Shiva Nikiyah. So the Rosh says that there's a different girsa in the Gemara. And the girsa that he has in the Gemara says, Amalei linter mar ad arba achrina, Amalei amai, Amalei lo sam lamar lo hadarava tavoli nasen. And according to that, Ravina let Ravi Chaviva know that there's no difference between a katana and a gadola, even before the Shiva Nikiyah started. So it wasn't later on that Rabbi Chaviva came to the realization, oh, even a katana has dam chimud? No, he told them in advance. Yeah, even a katana has dam chimud, and therefore, get ready, get her, prepare her, give her kala classes, prepare her for Shiva Nikiyah. A totally different way. Right, you saw it quoted in the Torah, at least you see it inside, but the Torah quotes this also. Who's the Yesh Megdolim? Rashba. The Chaim Kasav HaRamban. Even though the Ramban says for different reasons than the Rosh actually says himself. Good. So the Rosh is an entirely different paradigm of how to view the whole situation. So now, let's just see it in Shulchan Aruch for a moment, then we'll come back to some other things. Let's see in Shulchan Aruch. Says Shulchan Aruch, Tavul inasei v'nispaisa, tzrich aleishiv shivinakiyin. Okay, everyone agrees to that. Ben gadol ben katana, everyone agrees to that. That's straight from the Gemara. V'afilu batka atzma b'shas tviya umatza tahora. Right, even if she did a bedika right away and she was tahora, because shama machmas chimud rasa tibetam chagav lo hirgishabo. Umona shiva mimachras yom hatviya, the 7 day start, the day after the Tevi'ah, ve'ina tzricha hefsek tara. But no hafzik tara is required. Shalti shlabat kub yom atvila hafzik patara monum yom amakra shubinakiv. Umiu tsricha bedika toch shiva. What does she require? A bedika betoch shiva. Shkhar seems to pass like Ramban. Comes along the Rama. Hagol. Kol yom. When we say bedika betoch shiva, means kol yom lechachila. Miu bedievadim lo bad gasmarak pamachas toch shiva sagim. Lechachila, she should really do bedikas every single day of Shiva Nakim. Why? Why? Because you have a real concern that she's going to see Dam. I mean, the Rama is probably alluding to the Rush. The Shach points out in Sivkat and Aleph what is an obvious point, and that is that nowadays, of course, we require her to have Siktara because every woman before they get married, meaning every young woman before they get married, is also a Nida, like a real Nida. So, it's not just Dam Chimut, it's, the fact that she's been getting her period for the last 10 years before she got married. So she's a real neither. And the Shach in Sivkat and Beis, Miyot Tzricha, Zeloshon Beis Yosef, Uldas HaRosh, L'chadchila Miyot Tzricha Livdok B'kol Yomei HaShiva. Umi B'diyavet, B'pamach HaShabbat, B'tok Shiva Sagi D'lo Adif, V'miro HaVadois. Meaning you still can't treat this as more chamur than a woman who actually got her period. Meaning the rush is the one that holds, as we're going to see later in Kufzad Yivav, that one bedika in all of Shiva Nakim is good enough. This is even though the Rama says bedieved, if she only does a bedika once during Shiva Nakim, that's good enough. He doesn't really mean that. He means follow the rules of Kufzad Yivav. And the lashon of Kufzad Yivav is that we don't paskin like the Rush that once during Shiva Nakim is good enough. We paskin, you need day one and day seven. We paskin, even though the Shulchan Aruch quotes the day that just one bedika during Shiva Nakim is good enough, Shulchan Aruch over there says, ve'ein lahakel. He can't be making like that. So says the Shach, apply that, ve'ein lahakel, to here. Even though the Rama doesn't say it. But he says, I'm not sure that that's the case. Because over here, it could be that we are willing to be mekel on the ve'ein lahakel and kufzad yivav. Meaning, it could be that it's more kal over here, because she didn't actually see dam. So maybe we're willing to take certain kulas when she didn't actually see dam. So, a couple of things. Yeah.
When the Shulchan Aruch writes that she doesn't, there's no hafzik tahara that's required, but yet the counting starts the day after. Isn't that the same thing? Shulchan Aruch says you have the tefiyah itself, and then she doesn't start counting until the next day.
Right.
But he also says, but those are also no hafzik tahara.
Hafzik tahara means an actual bedika.
So that's the only nafkamina, that there's no requirement.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But that you have to realize how big a deal that is. Meaning, normally the Hefzik Tara is a Din Dol Raisa. Meaning it's a major, major part of the process. It's ma'akev the entire process. Doing that bedika is absolutely critical. It's the most important bedika she does throughout the entire thing. So to say that that's not required is like, it's a big deal. But that's Ramban. Ramban says it's not required because it's all, the only concern was the Tipas Dam to begin with. Now, can a couple get married before the seven clean days are over? Before the Shiva Nakim are over? So the Ravan in Simon Shin Chavdal says, yeah, you get married right away. You just have to wait Shiva Nakim before you have Tashmish. No problem getting married. The Rambam in Yisuri Bia, Perek Yid Aleph Halacha Yud, says they can't get married until after the Shiva Nakim. However, and you saw this quote in the Torah also, if she marries a Talmud Chacham, they can get married immediately and just wait until Shiva Nakim to be Tovel and have Tashmish, because the Talmud Chacham is aware that she's a Surah, so he'll stay away from her. So different rules for Talmud Chacham than there are for a Hamona. I don't know what kind of person would declare himself a Talmud Chacham for such a demon. He has to pass a Bechina or something. But that's what the Rambam says. The Talmud Chacham, it's okay. Yeah.
Why would this be different than the Nachapas
Nida? Ah, so let's get there. Good. So Kasimisha asks that the Rambam makes it sound like the issue is the person's knowledge, not his ne'amanus. Right? Oh, he's aware that there's such a thing called Dam Chimud. not that he's more ne'aman, but that he's more aware. So Kasimisha says, if that's the case, why can't you just tell the Amaretz? And if I'm not worried about someone's ne'amanus, and I think the Amaretz is going to keep Bilchus Nida also, just tell the Amaretz, there's such a thing called Dam Chimud. So Kasimisha gives two answers. First he says, well, she didn't actually see Dan. It's all built on the Chashash Shema Ra Satipas Dan. So the Amaretz is going to have a hard time connecting to that. You know? You're going to tell me there's Dam Chimud? I believe you. Where is it? You know, show it to me and I'll believe you. But like, it didn't exist. It's an imaginary thing. Our Talmud Chacham is used to Gezeros Chachamim. He knows that that's the way Gezeros work. So he'll be more okay with it. Or, Kesemish says, it could just be like a low plug. Most of the Chacham are aware of Dam Chimud. Most of the Amayarits are not aware of Dam Chimud. So they said, Talmud Chacham get married. Amayarits cannot get married. But this Shitas Rambam, that they're not allowed to get married unless he's Talmud Chacham. So there are two basic approaches that the major Nosei Kelim on the Rambam take to it. The Ravid, the Magen Mishnah, the Rashba, all say that a Talmud Chacham can even have Yichud with her. Unlike a Chupas Nida, where he can't. Right? Rambam Shitas Chupas Nida can't even have Yichud. But over here he can. The Rambam's makar is Yuma Daf Yud Ches. When Rav Nachman came to whatever town it was, he looked for a woman to marry him for the day that he would be there, and that would be it. And the Gemara says, "I, what about Dam Chimud?" So one of the answers is that the Amorayim were miyachadim liatzmam nashim because they were einu domim mishiyesh lapas pesalo mishein lapas pesalo. And the Rambam must understand what does that mean? They were miyachadim. It means that they had yichud. After Nisuin. They just didn't have Bia, but they had Yichud. So the Ravid says, yeah, but what do you do with the story of Ravina's son in our Gemara? Right? Who presumably, Ravina's son, it's hard not to be a Talmud Chacham growing up in Ravina's house, must have been a Talmud Chacham. And he didn't get married till after the Shivan Nikim were over. Why not let him get married? They just want to have Yichud. So the Magen Mishnah says, maybe he wasn't a Talmud Chacham. Yeah. Something called Rabbi's son syndrome, and you know, maybe he was that kid in the family, you know, maybe, or maybe it's just not so super geschmack to have a chuppas nida. So he was waiting till to get married till it wouldn't be a chuppas nida, right? No Kala dreams of her chuppas nida. So that could have just as easily. Also, another kasha that I'm, how could Ram allow a chuppah with a woman that we consider a nida? Right? Meaning, the Rambam in Hilchos Ishos, right, Chaim pointed out, Avon Mais Nida, Lo Gomra Nisuin, Varehi Ka'arusa Adayan. Chuppah's nida is ineffective, according to the Rambam. And then to allow Yichur on top of that, what's halacha? Kala Shapirsa Nida? It's Gomorrah Ksuvus. Right? They can't even have Yichud. What's the answer? Why would the Rambam all of a sudden allow Chuppas Nida over here and allow Yichud? It's not real Nida. There was no Dam. So it's a Chashash of Chimur, a Chashash of a Tipas Dam. That's all one way of understanding the Rambam. That's the Magen Mishnah's way of understanding the Rambam. So again, the Magen Mishnah says that a Talmud Chacham can even have Yichud. Which is unlike a Chuppas Nida where he can't, and unlike a Chuppas Nida where it can't even happen. The story of Ravina's son, maybe he wasn't a Talmud Chacham, maybe he just didn't care about it, he just wasn't interested in the Chuppas Nida, fine. The other way to understand the Rambam is where the Kesef Mishnah, and he writes it in Beis Yosef over here as well, is that they cannot have Yichud. It's a Kavu Chomer. Why is it a Kavu Chomer? When she's definitely a Nida and she's a Vada Yisr Kares, we don't trust them. And when there's more reason for him to Cheshbin in his mind why it's really okay and why there's no real listener over here, then you really better not trust them. Can't trust them with a chashash b'alma. Rambam would never allow a nida to get married. He wouldn't even rely on huyash v'minanashim unless they got married when she wasn't a nida and later became a nida. He's concerned that they're going to wait for the shomrim to be lax in their job or whatever. But she's not really a nida, and the guy is a talmud chacham. He's willing to allow them to get married, but he's not going to allow yichud. That far he's not going to go. That's all shita sarama, this chiluk between the talmud chacham and somebody else. The Ravid in Bali HaNefesh says nobody can get married until she goes to the mikvah. Gemara in Yuma Yudches was just saying that they were miyachid. Didn't it say that yichud? No, they were miyachid nashim to marry in the future. Right? They designated the women to marry in the future. That provided enough pas pasal to know that there is a woman there for them. And that answers the previous kasha of the Gemara also, right? Amar Rav Elazar ben Yaakov lo yisa demisha b'medina zu v'yelech b'yisisha b'medina acheres shemi yizdav yuzeitzel zev nimtze ach no se achoso, right? The Gemara asks the kasha, he's going to start a family here, a family there. Who knows? Maybe siblings will marry each other. He doesn't have any families. He can get married. They just identified a woman as a potential Mrs. Rav or Mrs. Ravina. Tais v'shanim in Yuma, so put it on the side of the page in Yuma. So Sishanim in Yuma says he can marry her within the 7 days, and even have yichud because the whole thing is only yichumer drabana. Meaning, what the way the Ravid understood the Rambam Shita about Talmud Chacham, right? The way the Magmishan understood the Rambam Shita about Talmud Chacham, that Talmud Chacham can marry and have yichud. So Sishanim says that's true for everybody. It doesn't only have to be Talmud Chacham. Everybody can. So essentially, there are four basic shitas. You have Rambam A, Rambam B. You have the Ravid, and you have Tos Tishon. Right, Rambam A is the Magen Mishnah, and Ravid is on the same as the Rambam. That for Talmud Chacham, he can even have Yichud. Rambam B is a Kesef Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam. Nobody's allowed to have Yichud, but they are allowed to get married. The Ravid and Bali and Nefesh, they can't even get married. And Tos Yishanim, they can get married and they can have Yichud, and it doesn't even have to be a Talmud Chacham. Anybody can get married and have Yichud. So Beshem, tomorrow we'll really get working on the Shulchan Aruch over here. So it took 2 days to set it up, but we'll get to the halacha over the next day or two.